With all of this looking back to Easter morning, there is a quiet danger of thinking that Easter happened sometime in the past. That the only way to find it is to turn back the pages of the calendar. That as we recall Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Joanna and others, walking to the early tomb early that morning with spices in hand, we might assume that Easter happened years ago, but that doesn't seem to be what Jesus said. That he stood up in the synagogue and he unrolled the scroll of Isaiah and he started to read, "The Spirit, the Lord is upon me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing," that Easter is always in the present. As Jesus said, "The kingdom of God has already come near." And the prophet Isaiah said similar things, speaking to the people of God who were taken from their homes against their will to live in captivity, in exile in Babylon, forced to live under the air of oppression, trying to remember what it was like long ago. To them, Isaiah says, there will be a new beginning. That Isaiah proclaims for God, "I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered." That the wolf and the lamb shall eat together, that the lion will lay down and eat straw like the ox. Now, in what world does a lamb and a wolf eat together? Natural enemies. It is a world marked by the peace of God, where everything is made right. That he says this to the people of God, forced to live under the oppression of foreign rule in another kingdom. And he speaks of God's coming kingdom, where the world is defined by God's peace. It's another way of saying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It is moving from exile to homecoming, from brokenness to redemption, to walking in newness of life where the world is made whole. That we don't look for Easter in the past because we are called to be a Lord's Prayer church, where every week we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That after the women discovered that the tomb was empty, they went running to tell the others. But when they told the others did not believe them. That Peter went running as fast as he could to see the empty tomb. But what Peter didn't know is he was just looking for something that happened in the past, because he wasn't there to hear what the women had heard that morning, saying, "Why? Why do you look for the living among the dead?" That Peter was looking for something that happened in the past. He didn't realize yet he was to look among the living. But he would come to realize that Easter keeps happening, that it keeps bringing heaven to earth, because Peter kept brushing up against the Spirit of Christ, and that is exactly what kept happening. Like when he heard that voice on the rooftop, and it said to him, "Why do you call profane what God has made clean?" And it opened the door to a whole new world where Peter could sit down around the table with Gentiles and eat together. And he could see in their lives the Spirit of God at work. It was Easter all over again, making the world whole, building bridges where there were once division, where the wolf and the lamb could eat together. That Peter proclaims, "I now understand God shows no partiality." As one writer says, Peter's horizons widened. Let's not narrow ours. That Easter keeps showing up to widen and stretch the horizons of our lives, to make room for a new heaven and a new earth. That we look to Easter in the past because it is so much easier to draw a straight line from our lives to the empty tomb. The only problem is when we open up the pages of Scripture and we run our finger down the page and we locate the empty tomb, so we're standing in front of it, Scripture then says to us, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" That we have to look up from the page and start looking around for the presence of Christ. It's like that scene from Oscar Wilde's play Salome. Salome was Herod's stepdaughter, and it tells the story of the execution of John the Baptist. But there in the background of the story, of course, is Jesus of Nazareth. And Herod hears about all that Jesus is doing, traveling throughout the region of Galilee, standing up and teaching in the synagogue, healing people's wounds, tending to people's needs, and this quite pleased Herod, at least at first. He was so pleased that someone was doing so many good things all around Galilee, but then he hears that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and everything changed. Because if this person can raise another from the dead, surely he can take Herod's throne. So Herod will stop at nothing to find him. He starts asking around, "Where is this man?" But the answer was quite telling. The people said, "He is in every place, but it is hard to find him." That since Easter keeps happening and Christ is found among the living, Christ is in every place, but it can be hard to find him. We cannot simply draw a straight line from our lives to the empty tomb. In college, one summer I was a camp counselor, and every week we would take our cabin of 8-year-old boys on an overnight camp out. It was always an adventure. We would hike about 1 mile, which wasn't too far, And the first half of the hike wasn't too bad. It was usually flat, straight line. You knew exactly where you were going. The second half of the hike is when you started to hear all the complaints over your shoulder because it got much steeper very fast. And all of a sudden, the trail was no longer straight where you could see where you were going. It would start to move back and forth up the side of the mountain. These long, winding turns, it seemed like the longest possible route to the top. That when you would take a turn, you'd look over your shoulder, and the path was just 3 or 4 feet behind you, that surely there was a quicker way up the hill. And every now and then, we'd look down, and between the winding path was a short trail that just cut straight up the hill between the two, going directly up to the top. But we were told under no conditions to take those cut-throughs. Because if we created a trail going straight up the hill with our foot traffic, it would promote erosion. That every time it would rain, the water would run straight down those paths, washing out the hill. That if we try to draw a straight line that seems like the quickest way possible from our lives back to the empty tomb to find Jesus, too much is lost in the process. Because we will not find him there. Christ is among the living and not the dead. That it may, that long, winding path, take us longer to get there. But that is the only way to discover Easter and to make room for a new heaven and a new earth. And if we pay attention along the way, in the midst of those long, winding turns, where we cannot see exactly where we are going, but we are open to where the grace of God may take us, we just might discover Easter's joy. Growing up, my sister took ballet lessons, which meant that every year I attended the annual performance of the Ballet Studio's rendition of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I was excited every year to go, and I saw it so many years, I had every scene memorized. Well, there was one moment in the ballet where the director of the studio, who played Aslan, the Christ figure in the story, would come out, and he was leaping higher and jumping further than anyone else, that he just filled up the entire stage. And it always reminded me of that scene from C.S. Lewis's book, right after Aslan was brought back to life. But before he went out to tend to all of the turmoil that was still around him all throughout Narnia, that before he did anything else, he paused to play a game of tag with the children. That he was running and jumping. The children were laughing and following. Aslan was saying, "I can feel my strength coming back to me." And C.S. Lewis writes, "It was such a romp as no one had ever seen, except in Narnia." That it was full of Easter's joy, of heaven coming to earth. And it's why we pray each and every week, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." that we are called to be a Lord's Prayer church, that even though everything is not yet right throughout the world, we pay attention along that long and winding road that takes us there. That Easter did not happen in the past. It is taking place right now. So as we leave the empty tomb this morning, we are a little bit more open, a little bit more attentive, because Christ is among the living and not the dead. That we pay attention on that long and winding road, allowing the grace of God to stretch and move us, making more room in our lives. For heaven to come to earth, because Christ is risen. Amen.